especially delightful this morning, Joy Lynn. Like, kind of modern sounding today. That's great. Well, I'll try and be modern accordingly. I'll do my best. Thank you. Well, let's see. Did you enjoy those two hymns the choir did this morning? Those are, I like them. Yeah, go ahead. For those of you who don't know, those are both reworkings of older hymns that are going to be appearing in the new songbook. As soon as we can quit fighting over what's going to appear in the new songbook and what's not going to appear in the new songbook, then we will have a new songbook and you'll get to sing those two songs among many others. A lot of announcements for you today, but I'll try to go through them kind of quickly. We've got teen camp deadline coming up. You aware of that, teens? Okay. Coming up any moment now, so make sure if you're going to be in teen camp. And you know something, this may come as a shock to you, but you don't have to wait till the deadline. We don't require here in Ohio that you wait till the deadline. If you're ready early, you're allowed to register early. Isn't that great? So feel free to, but certainly by the deadline if you want to be in our teen camp. And of course, that's the reason Jeff's here, is to pick up all the strays. So anybody who can't get to our deadline in time, he's going to be happy to get you in his teen camp. And as you know, you're welcome to go to both. So they're back-to-back this summer, aren't they? So we'll tear them apart, you put them together, right? Good. Oh, man. Got a few things here. You know, I just learned something about the bookstore I didn't know before, and I wanted to let you know. Did you know the bookstore has a reader's table? How many of you knew this? Oh, see, just the bookstore staff, pretty much. this is amazing. I'm glad I brought it up. They've got a table where you can sit down and look at any of the material they've got. They'll show you if you need information on how, what's involved in some of the research material. They'll show you. There's a little book with the different bookstore staff has their little reviews of some of the material in there, what's good, what's not so good, or at least what it's good for, what it may not be so good for. And they've got all that available. I had no idea. Even a little table where you can sit down and read this stuff. So it's all we need now is like latte, you know. So work on it. But meanwhile, we do have a reader's table, so take advantage of that in the bookstore if you'd like, okay? We've got, next Saturday, we've got two things coming up. We've got our men's prayer breakfast, which you want to be a part of, certainly. That's at 9 o'clock next Saturday. We've also got a wedding next Saturday, and as always, when we do our weddings here, you're all welcome to attend the wedding. I can't invite you to the reception, but blessed to invite you to the wedding. Whenever we do one here, the whole church is invited. So, Rick and Karen, one more week. It's going to be wonderful. 4 o'clock next Saturday. Stand up so they can see how pretty you look. There you go. So next Saturday, they'll be getting married at 4 o'clock. As you know, weddings aren't like Sunday mornings. When you say 4 o'clock for a wedding, you actually start at 4 o'clock, and people don't come in at 15, 20 minutes later like they do on Sunday. So make sure you're here. If you're going to be here, make sure you're here by 4 o'clock, okay? It's going to be a wonderful time, and you're certainly welcome to be a part of the wedding. Men's prayer breakfast I told you about. Something else that we're going to consider doing that we've talked about, and... Well, I thought it could be a great addition to what we do here, as well as giving some of you men and women an opportunity, you know, those of you who desire to be more of an integral part of things. One thing we could never have enough of is prayer. Or, you know, never be reach the point where we say, that's enough, don't need any more prayer. So, Alfred, where are you? There's Alfred. We're thinking about seeing if there are a group of men and women who would be blessed to come in on Sundays an hour early and just pray for the meeting coming up. Pray for the teachers, pray for the people just coming and trying to get all the kids in the car on time and all that other stuff you go through on Sunday morning. Just for all the details of the fellowship, that God will be glorified, that people will have an opportunity to serve and an opportunity to get blessed. And so if, you know, it's not the type of thing where you have to come every Sunday and pray, but just if there's one or two people who want to be here on particular Sunday mornings and pray, and if we have enough who are interested, then we could schedule such a thing, and I think it would be a tremendous help and a tremendous opportunity to bless the fellowship. So if you'd like to be a part of that, Alfred, where should they talk to you? That back corner right there, okay. Then also, here's another opportunity to do something entirely different. Tina, where's Tina? Tina wears many hats. She sings. She does children's fellowship, and she does special missions, right? I'm told there's a special mission Tuesday night. Tina is in charge of a special mission Tuesday night, and she needs some helpers. Any qualifications for those helpers?
Willing to get dirty.
Willing to get dirty. So we know that much about the special mission. For about 2 hours Tuesday night, starting...
At 7:30.
7:30.
Meet here at 7.
Okay, so they'd need to meet here at 7 Tuesday night, be willing to get dirty, and go on a secret mission with Tina for 2 hours. If you think you've got what it takes, where should they meet with you afterwards? That back corner over there, okay? Praying people over here, dirty secret mission people over here. And I think that is the end of my announcements. I'm not even starting to talk about family camp yet, but I trust you're putting that on your calendar. That's going to be a wonderful time. And before too much more of the spring goes by, we'll begin talking about family camp. But right now, I want to just mention yesterday, we had a phenomenal day in God's Word. If you missed it, I'm sorry you missed it. It was a tremendous time. Just for some of us, material we've covered before, but if you're like me, I've covered it before, but it's never fit for me like it did yesterday. And what a fun time, too. So if you missed it, we are going to be making it available at some point in the bookstore. We've got permission to do that, Ray. And we've got a little handbook that'll go along with it, but you won't get the show that we got yesterday. Oh, man. But if you didn't, that's okay. You can get a good semblance of it, and you can get taught the same stuff. But I'm very thankful for the two men who came out from Pennsylvania to teach us God's Word. Of course, our friend Ray Myers and our friend Jeff Duclos, and very gracious on both of their parts to give of their time to us. So I want to thank both of them, but I also want to bring one of them up this morning in a moment to teach God's Word, and that's our friend Jeff Duclos. But before he comes up, why don't you stand, please? We're going to sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. No. We're going to sing number 52, Love Lifted Me.
Ray can attest to that. I spend 2 days with Tom and I want to mess with somebody. That's it. I don't know why that is. He goes, hey, I do want to thank you, as Ray does, for your wonderful gift yesterday that we received and also the cards that were given us. And I wanted to show you this card that I got. And Kathy did this when I heard that. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and she was cackling downstairs, and Tom wanted to know what the deal was, and here was the deal. I had a card here, and it had the Mary and Joseph and the baby and the star, and it had cows and sheep and the It had the wise men, and it had a donkey, and we had the little drummer boy there. Isn't that something? We had it all. You got angels blowing trumpets and Santa Claus and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. We got it all. And question marks all around it. So I did. When I saw it, I just laughed. It delighted my heart. And so I just wanted to show you this. So it's great. And again, we're so grateful and thankful. And it is a pleasure to be here with such wonderful believers who love God and love His Word. And today we're going to get into His Word. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at a topic today that is... The topic is edification. Edification. There's a lot of different things in God's Word concerning edification. Thank you. There you go. And we're going to look at a few of them. It's a subject that is very vast and a subject that can be worked and looked at. But it's something that God desires for the church, that they would be edified, that they would be built up. He desires the church to be strengthened. He desires the church to be fortified. And there's wonderful ways that He has said in His Word that will do that. And in Ephesians chapter 4, in the practical doctrine of Ephesians, it speaks about being concerned about one another in the church. It's so very important because we've been placed in a body, haven't we? We're in a body of believers. It's not just me anymore. It's us, isn't it? It's one another, see? And God wants us to be concerned about one another, how we take care of one another, what we say to one another, what we do for one another. And He set up some wonderful ways for us in the church. And in Ephesians chapter 4, let's look at verse 11. It says, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." And here's what He gave them for. For the perfecting of the saints. He gave them for the perfecting of the saints. Some translations say for the equipping of the saints. To equip them, and then those saints, those believers, can do the work of the ministry. They can do their service in the body, see? Because it's individual members in that body, and every member is essential. Every member is needed. Every member has a function. Every member has a service in that body. So they're equipped believers. That's what God wants, equipped believers, so that they can do their service. So they can do their service. You know what the end result of that service is? Edification in the church. Isn't that great? That's what God has in mind, that the church is edified, the church is built up. It says then in verse 14, "that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him." And this is the heart of God. He wants us to grow up into Him, into Christ, in all things which is the head, Christ. "From whom," it says, "the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of how many parts?" Amen. Every part. Every part is essential in the body. Every part is needed. Every part with the proper direction, Christ the head, every part functioning in that body. And that's what God wants. And as you all know, one of those parts is not a spectator, right? It's an active member in that body of believers. "In the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in" what? Isn't that great? Again, "unto the edifying of itself in love." And that's what God desires in the church, that kind of edification, and that it's done in love. See, that it's done in love. Let's go to verse 29. Here's another wonderful one. Verse 29. It says, "Let no corrupt communications proceed out of" what? Let nothing that is rotten, nothing that would tear down, nothing that would belittle, proceed out of your mouth. We have a responsibility in the body because it isn't just me anymore. It isn't just me. It's us. And the words that I speak out of my mouth can be these type of words. It says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of my mouth, out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of" what? Edifying. Once again, that which is good to the use of edifying. I can so govern my life that the words I speak will build up. The words I speak are not rotten words. They don't tear down. They're not putrid words. You understand? They're words that build up. They're words that edify, that strengthen the believer. We need that in the church, don't we? I know the world really supplies that, doesn't it? They supply a wonderful dose of edification. You just feel so good being out in the world, don't you? I love it. Wrong again. It's not a place to be. The place to be in this wonderful body of believers is being with one another and speaking God's word one to another, edifying one another, building up one another. See, it's so important. And it says here that we may minister grace unto the hearers. We're concerned about the hearers. We're concerned about one another. Hey, have you ever come into a fellowship where people just loved you and spoke the word to you, and you maybe had some problems going on in your heart and life, and you just got them taken care of? Has it ever happened? Have you ever been loved and someone just told you how wonderful you were, and you know something? You knew you weren't so wonderful. You ever been there? But what they spoke to you is what the Word said about you, which is true, isn't it? And it got your mind off of yourself. It got your mind off of your shortcoming and onto what the Word of God says. And that is ministering grace. And that is a beautiful place to be. I need that. I need that so desperately. You need it too. We all need it. The church needs it. And this is what God says, that He wants us to get to the place where there's no corrupt communication. The words out of our mouth are the words of God that we speak, words that edify, words that build up, words that bring people back to the Scriptures, not words that look at their shortcoming or the places where they've missed the mark. And it says it ministers, it gives grace unto the hearers. Isn't that great? Let's go to Romans 14. Here's some more about this. Romans 14. And I think many of you are very familiar with the practical doctrine of Romans, where so much of it has to do with love and so much of it has to do with one another. What we're thinking about one another, what we're speaking about one another, how we're concerned about one another. In chapter 14, it speaks about that we all have the same Lord. It speaks that we're not our own. We've been bought with a price. And in that section, it talks about judging one another, not putting a stumbling block in front of our brothers and sisters. You know, we're thinking about others. That's so very important when we're with the body. We're thinking about others. You know, as a father, as a parent, sometimes I get selfish because of what I know from God's Word, and I might beat my kids up a little bit. I do. I catch myself sometimes. I expect, and I got to remember, hey, these are beautiful, wonderful believers. They need edification. They need to be built up. You know, and it reminds me sometimes they're just not my children. They're members in the body. My wife is a member in this body of Christ. I need to edify my wife. I need to speak God's word to her. I don't judge my wife. I don't beat my wife up. I don't do that. You see, it's so very important. That my wife used to say that to me, and it used to crack me up. And I'd laugh, and then after a while I thought, hey, she's serious. She would say, you know, I'm a member of the body too, you know. And I'd say, yeah, I know. And after saying it a few times, I realized, yeah, she is a member of the body, you know. She's not just my wife, you know, and then I have all these other people to take care of. My wife is a member too. My kids are members of that body too. And it's important to remember that. It's important to remember that. But again, when we look at one another, we're concerned about one another. I'm thinking about you. I'm thinking what's going to bless you, you see. I'm thinking of how I can minister to you. And that's a good way to think. That's a good way to be. And it's needed in the church. Just think about yourself. Just think about yourself. How you like to be treated, how you like to be treated, and how you're affected when someone speaks God's word to you, someone loves you. Real simple to say, hey, that's a good way to go. And that's what the Scriptures say to do. So here in Romans 14, it says, verse 19, it says, let us therefore follow or pursue after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may what? Edify another. See, again, we look for things that we can that would make for peace. We pursue those things. See, sometimes even in life, even as a believer dealing with other believers, sometimes we give up our right for the sake of peace. We do. Sometimes we're yielding on insignificant matters. Yes, we could make a big deal about something. we have a right. But sometimes we can just put it aside, you see, for the sake of peace. It's so very, very important. And we're looking for things that edify one another. Great thing to do, isn't it? That I actively think of what can I do to bless them. These believers, these born-again ones, these beloved of God are coming to my home today. What can I do to bless them? What, boy, a thought like that, a prayer like that can have a wonderful effect. Because God wants that in the church. He says it right here. So that's my prayer. That's my thinking. What can I do to bless? What can I do to help, Father? What can I do with your direction? And bam, I can have an effect on somebody. Pretty soon someone walks out of my house and they say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Must be the decor. No. They got it was spiritual. It was supernatural. They got blessed. That's what we can do for one another. So, like it says here, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Chapter 15, verse 1 says, we then that are strong, we ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please who? Ourselves, not to please ourselves. Let every one of us, what does that mean? Every what? One of us. Nobody's left out. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to what? Edification. And that's talking to the church. That's what we should be thinking about. Every single one of us. And when every one of us is thinking that way, things get done, don't they? People get blessed. Great place to be in a part of that fellowship. Look at chapter 15, verse 3. It says, for even Christ pleased not what? Himself. But as it was written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God's only begotten Son, came into the world that he could redeem man. And Jesus Christ's thinking was, I am come that they might have life. Isn't that great? I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's the way Jesus Christ thought. He was truly thinking of others. He was to the end that he gave his life. Even to the end when he was hanging on that tree and the way he was treated, the way he was beaten, the things that were said and done to him, it was just incredible. And he said, Father, forgive them. Isn't that amazing? Forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. That's what he said from the tree. Forgive them. Boy, who was he thinking of? Wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking of others. Not only to redeem them, but to pray that prayer. Father, forgive them. It's a great example. Great example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what it's used here. For even Christ pleased, not himself. So we should be thinking about building up, thinking about edifying, thinking about doing our part in the body, walking with God, and allowing God to work in us and direct us, and we can have effect on one another. And then we get to chapter 14 in God's Word, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And here is a whole chapter, basically, that God deals, that he devotes a whole chapter to edifying, on edification, which is wonderful. And it's a way that he has set up in the church for the church to be edified, for the church to be built up, for the church to be strengthened. Like I said, he put a whole chapter here for the most part to deal with this subject, and we're going to look at it. We're going to look at it. Okay? I think most of us are familiar with chapter 12, where it talks about God doesn't want us ignorant of what? Spiritual matters. He doesn't want us ignorant of spiritual things. And to be ignorant means he wants us to know. He wants us to be aware and to know. And then he gives us chapter 12, 13, and 14, where he talks about manifestations of the Spirit, where he talks about ministries in the body and service in the body, where he talks about members in the body, where he talks about how they function the best with the love of God, those ministries, those manifestations, how the members operate, how the members should think about themselves and about one another, wonderful things, and how it's to be done the most effectively, that love is the order of the day. I think we're aware of that, right, in chapter 13. And then we get to verse 1 of chapter 14. It says, follow after charity, follow after that love of God, and desire spiritual matters, but rather that you may what? Prophesy. Then he gets into this manifestation of prophecy. Now, I want to share something with you that's really interesting and really important to know. In this verse here, it says, pursue, follow after charity, that love of God, and desire. Just have a zeal for spiritual matters. But rather, now that word but rather is the Greek words malon dei. And what they simply mean, it just means, it's not a meaning of opposition, but it means that which is of greater importance. Now he's moving on to speaking about prophecy. What did we just read in chapter 13? What did we just talk about? Love, right? The way it's supposed to function. Look at verse 13 of chapter 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is what? Now we get in. Now he switches subjects to prophecy. He's switching to prophecy. He's not saying love is not important, is he? No. Are you aware of that? I am too. I know when I was a kid, my mother used to say, make sure you bundle up. I was from Minnesota, and it got cold in Minnesota. She would say, make sure you bundle up, but make sure, but wear a hat, but wear a hat. It wasn't like I'd forget about putting a coat on. But the reason why she wanted me to wear a hat, because it got cold up there. It's the land of blonde hair, blue ears. That was what came from Minnesota, because it was cold up there. So my mother always wanted us to wear a hat. But it wasn't that I wasn't supposed to wear a coat or wear boots, but I just needed to be aware. Boy, when those ears hit the cold air up there, especially when it got that cold, in very short order, they were frostbitten. Hey, when it comes to love, love is essential in a church. It's the thing that makes it go, isn't it? There's supposed to be edification in love. That's what the Word of God says. Chapters 12, 13, 14 of Romans talks about that love of God. It's the grease that makes it go. It's the thing that's the bond of perfection. That's what puts it all together, right? So it's not that love isn't important. And you'll see as we get on here what I mean by this. But what's of greater importance is prophecy in the church. For he that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto who? Unto God. For no man understandeth, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and what? Comfort. He that speaketh in a tongue, what does he do? Edifies himself. But he that prophesieth, who gets edified? The church. And then it says in verse 5, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye what? Prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. What people do with this verse 5 many times is they say, but rather that you prophesy. And they'll say, see, tongues is not important in the believer's life. Have you ever heard that? Boy, I've heard that. I've heard that with our teens sometimes speaking about, they come to a fellowship, people hear about it, and they might know a little bit about God's word, but what they have a tendency to know about is tongues. Don't do that. As a matter of fact, I heard a guy recently tell me that tongues is selfish. And I said, what? Tongues is selfish? And he told me, you know what he showed me? You edify yourself. Prophecy edifies the church. All you're doing is thinking about yourself. That's what he said, that's no good. Is that what the scriptures say? See, but again, if you want to isolate something in God's word and you'll say, but rather that you do this, that's not handling the word of God correctly, is it? And so you know what I say? Okay, prophecy then. But see, they don't do that either. I had a guy one time, this is true, he said to me, I told him, you go to this fellowship, you hear tongues with interpretation, it's a message from God. These are words that edify, that exhort, you know, that comfort the believer. You know, and then he looked at me, he says, did you try the spirits, brother? It's from 1 John. Did you try the spirits? And I thought, did I try the spirits? I said, no. He said, you need to try the spirits. And I said, well, I don't know how to do that. Why don't you come over and try them? He didn't know what that meant, but someone said that to him. You know what I mean? Someone told him that. So he just threw it out there. Try the spirits. And I said, why don't you come over and do it? And he kept saying, try the spirits. But, you know, the bottom line is he didn't want to say what the scriptures say concerning speaking in tongues with interpretation of prophecy. He didn't want to. He was taught something different. Hey, we looked at some things concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. There are some people that's all they hold on to, and they move with that, and they look at the scriptures, and they just walk away because it upsets their little apple cart a little too much. Well, hey, with this, people have a problem with tongues with interpretation and prophecy, and you know what God says it does to the church? It edifies. It exhorts. It comforts. Did you get edified and exhorted today with the manifestations? Did you? I did. As a matter of fact, one of them said just that. I want you to be edified, to be strengthened, to be exhorted, to be comforted. You're my people. I love you. You know, that's one of them. That's one of the manifestations. This is what God desires. So when we get in the church, man, we can do that. But here's the neat point. Each one of us can operate those manifestations and walk in and give that to the church. That's something we can do to edify the church. That's something supernatural. That's something that's a spiritual matter that God desires. So God wants us to come into the church and speak in tongues and interpret and prophesy. He wants the believers to do that. And he wants to be able to bring forth that individual, to bring forth the message from him so he can get to the heart of that believer. That's what he desires. So when we as born again ones are in the church and want to do that, we want to be a part of that, man, we can have a wonderful effect on the church. That's what we can do. Hey, another thing too, when those manifestations are operated in the church, what a great day for the church when they're operated correctly and they're operated with love, when people are thinking about others. I want to bless the church today. I'm ready to bless the church today. That's right. You have that kind of attitude. Then you have other people in the church saying, I want to hear from God today. I want to hear words from my Father today. You get that group together and you're going to have some wonderful manifestations. I guarantee you, because that's the way the Word's designed. He wants to talk to his people. And he wants people to bring forth a message for him and from him. You see, he wants them to do it. Real simple. So when it comes to this, but rather that you prophesy, it's that this is something that is of great importance to God at this time. It's not that tongues is not important. We already know God marked out this administration with speaking in tongues, didn't he, on the day of Pentecost. We know wonderful benefits to speaking in tongues. We'll read in a little bit that Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. It's something that he does. I think at the end of this chapter it says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. But there's a way to do it that's right and do it according to God's word. That's all that this is talking about. Because there was a problem in Corinth where people spoke in tongues. I know a lot of people that do that. I've met people, religious people, people that are in born again ones, that go to a fellowship and somebody speaks in tongues. One does this and one prophesies over there, and some of them have groups where they speak in tongues, and then nobody knows what they're saying, but they think it's wonderful. But God's word addresses this, and let's read this. Let's look at chapter 14, verses 6 to 8 we'll look at, okay? We'll just read a couple of these sections. It says, now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall it profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine, and even things without life-giving sound, whether piped or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for the battle? I think in war, in battles, isn't there a trumpet? Is it called revelry? What is it called? Anybody know? Revelry, yeah. I do the revelry. So it's revelry. And then there's taps too, isn't there? What's that? What's taps for? Sunset, end of the day. Also, sometimes somebody dies. That would be tough if you're going to battle and you start playing taps. It wouldn't be good, would it? I'd look at the guy next to me. What does this mean? What does this mean? You know? That's right. There's a distinction. There's a distinction. And then it says here, which is important, so likewise, except you utter by tongues words easily to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For you shall speak into the air. And then it says there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Everything's significant. Languages are significant, but it's essential that it's proper. Again, if you're going to go to battle, you want to hear the right battle charge, right? hey, when you're on a ship, they do seven bells, I think, for emergency? There's a certain emergency code that they play when they do these bells on a ship. And when you hear that, you're supposed to muster and do all that stuff. What happens if the guy wanted to play Ave Maria? He said, I love that. You don't know what that does to my heart. What would it do to everybody else? You know, especially if the boat's going down. It's a pretty song. Well, honestly, when it comes to speaking in tongues, and we laugh, but people don't read what the scriptures say. God's addressing something that they did in Corinth. There wasn't a profit in speaking in tongues in a group. All the manifestations are to profit with all, it says, doesn't it? But they're to be used properly in the church. So tongues is something that should be used in your private prayer life, the Word of God addresses. And if it's done in a church, it's to be interpreted so that the church may receive edifying. Then we get to verse 11. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Then here's a wonderful comparison. Even so, ye, forasmuch as you are zealous of spiritual matters, seek that you may excel to what? The edifying of the church. This is what God desires. If someone is speaking in tongues in the church without interpretation, he wants them to do that, you see? He wants them to seek to excel because it won't edify them if it's not interpreted, will it? It won't. And that's what God desires. He wants the church edified. He wants them built up. He wants them strengthened with those words. And that's the way that he designed for them to do it. This word, seek to excel, same word it used where Herod was seeking for the child. Remember? When you look for the child, does that mean there's a little effort involved? Yeah. I'm not literally running around, but up here in my mind, in my thinking, this is what I want to do for the church. I want to speak in tongues and interpret. I want to prophesy. I want to bring forth a message from God so that God's people are edified. Why? Because I'm thinking of you. I'm thinking to bless you. I'm thinking I want to do this for God. I'm not trying to please myself. See, and these are manifestations of the Spirit. Then we get to 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I'll pray with the Spirit, and I'll pray with the understanding also. I'll sing with the Spirit, and I'll sing with the understanding also. Else when, or otherwise if, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing that he understandeth not what thou sayest? Hey, is speaking in tongues, does it give thanks well? Absolutely. But you don't know. Somebody doesn't know what's going on when you're speaking in tongues. And so you have to remember, too, does this mean something is wrong with speaking in tongues? No. It's just that it should be done orderly the way God designed it, and that's how you do it in love. You do it God's way. Not because you feel like doing it this way. Not because I think that this is the way I want to do it or this is the way my group was brought up. This is what the scriptures say. So we want to do it the scriptures way. Another thing, too, when we're teaching people, we can show this to people. We can make this known to people. We can make known God's word to them. We can tell them. If the church needed to hear it in Corinth, the church certainly needs to hear it today, don't they? So we tell them. It's not an arrogant thing, but it's saying what the scriptures say. It's showing them what the scriptures say. All right, verse 17. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not what? Edified. See, God is concerned with edification in the church, and he desires that. Verse 18. I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you what? More than you all. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding that I might teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Does that make the tongue bad? No. It's just, again, no edification. People don't understand. They don't understand what's being said in a tongue. But they sure are going to understand words that edify, aren't they? They're sure going to understand words that strengthen, aren't they? See, the church needs that today. So when I walk in that church and I know, hey, I get the opportunity to manifest today, I can bring forth a message from God. And it can be a wonderful message because I have my heart ready to serve. I have my heart ready to bless the believers. And you know, you can do it just like anything else. It could be a second-rate manifestation where you just blow through it, ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a, you know? Because, again, that would be outside of love, wouldn't it? See, I think of the way Jesus Christ handled people's lives, the way Jesus Christ did things. He had others in mind. We too can have others in mind. When I bring forth a message, I want to bless that body. Hey, you know what was wonderful? A few weeks back, there was about five of us, five guys. We were part of an intermediate class, and we had a practice session. And all of us had been in God's Word 30-plus years, each one of us. And I want to tell you, it was one of the greatest Exceller sessions I ever had. It was one of the greatest practical application sessions I ever had, because we all were concerned with excelling. We all were concerned with blessing one another. And I want to tell you, I walked out of that room a different man. I did. And I'd been around it. But you know, what I had in my heart was I wanted to hear from God. What I had in my heart was I wanted to bless these men. I wanted to speak in tongues and interpret. And you know, I got to the place, as we all did, because we discussed it afterwards. It wasn't a show. It wasn't a thing where I had to do this right and I had to be better, or I better not fall, or I better not stumble. I just wanted to bless. And each one of us had that thinking. And when we got done, we just sat there looking at each other like, what just happened here? And you know what just happened here? We just got edified. We just got built up. We just got strengthened by these wonderful words of God. So that's what God wants for the church. That's what he wants for the church. Okay, then let's look at verse 20. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice what you should be children, but in understanding be men. This context is, when it comes to the things of God, you should want to do the things of God. You should want to do, and these things that are contrary, you should lay them aside. There's your malice right there in this context. You should want to do it the way God designed it to do. Now, maybe you and I aren't going to stand up in a meeting and speak in tongues and sit down, are we? But you know, we can come in with the right heart, can't we? We can come in really wanting to bless the believers. We can come into a fellowship knowing that I'm going to hear from God today. I'm going to hear from him today. You know, and you can answer this question yourself. How many of you came in today with that in mind, that I'm going to hear from my God today? He designed it for the church, didn't he? And how many of you came in today saying, I want to manifest today? And you know, we know in a large meeting, not everybody can, but you have that heart because you're ready, aren't you? That's a good place to be, where people are ready to give, ready to serve, ready to bless in this capacity. Verse 22, it says, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying, not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in somebody that's unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say you're mad? You know, it's not to be done that way. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, and he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he'll worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Now that's a pretty wonderful way to operate the manifestations, isn't it? It shows the results of when they're done properly. When someone has a heart to edify, they're in that fellowship, and someone comes in that fellowship and it's done accurately and operated with the love of God, and it's done according to God's word, what happens? They fall down and say, God is in you of a truth. Ever been to a fellowship like that? We got a guy that came to the fellowship of our home a few weeks ago, and after the fellowship was over, he walked up to one of the girls and he said, that was incredible. I heard from God today. That's what he said. It's like he grabbed her. I heard from God today. And she said, yes, you did. You know, and that's what went on in his heart. He had heard from God today. And I want to tell you, he's been back ever since, because he heard from God that day. Those manifestations were operated with love. Those manifestations were operated with a concern for others. You know, another thing too, when it comes to speaking in tongues with interpretation, the Word of God says, speaking in tongues is something for, it edifies us spiritually. It builds us up spiritually. It strengthens us spiritually. That's something I need. That's the only place in God's Word where it talks about that. That what tongues is, it does that for me. We need to be built up spiritually. We need that. And then when it comes to speaking in tongues or interpretation, maybe I should develop myself in such a way that I'm fluent when I speak in tongues. That's right. Where I can be more fluent when I speak in tongues. Where it is that, like I said, sneaky, 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 sneaky. And then this wonderful message, you wonder, how does that all fit? You know, well, I know God is so gracious and so covering, you know, with that kind of stuff. But we can be very fluent in our tongue. You know how we get fluent? We speak in tongues much. That's right. We speak in tongues much in our private prayer life. That's so important in the church. I think he says that he desires for us to do this. Paul, by revelation, says, I speak in tongues more than you all. That's a good place to be. And then when that individual is built up, edified spiritually, and he speaks in tongues and interprets, or he prophesies, there can be a great effect in the church, huh? And this record here says, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. It's a wonderful way to get to the heart of people. See, I don't know you. I don't know what's going on in your life. But God does, and by way of those manifestations, he can reach the heart of individuals. Isn't that cool? He can. So we're thinking in terms of how can I operate more effectively in the church? How can I walk in love in dealing with this with the church? And I'm really thinking to be a part of that. When you get in your wonderful fellowships and those smaller groups, what a wonderful time, what a tender time to manifest. When you're together with a family, your family, you take time to hear from your Heavenly Father. You know, it's so very important to do. Maybe you've got a couple of children and mommy and daddy. What a great thing to do to start out a day. What a great thing to do to be together and take time and to teach your children the importance of that, to teach your children. We're going to hear from God today. You see how great that is. These are manifestations to be operated. And then God can work in the heart. And look at verse 26. It says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a what? Everyone hath a doctrine. Everyone hath a tongue. Everyone hath a revelation, and everyone hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto what? See, he just wants us to be thinking about one another, taking care of one another, getting our eyes off ourselves and what we think we want to do and do it God's way. That's what he desires in the church. Great place to be, isn't it? And see, sometimes believers might think it's not important. It's not that important. I think revelation's more important. I think I need to teach. That's more important. These are all wonderful things, but when it comes to the church and edification, God says we should be thinking this way. So here in this illustration, it doesn't mean that doctrine isn't important. It doesn't mean the tongues isn't important. But it's just that people are thinking about one another in the church and they're thinking about edifying the church. That's where we go with this. And then as you read on, God handles some other things and we get down towards the end, verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or a spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man wants to be ignorant, what do? Let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. Covet to prophesy. That's something that you want to do. God desires for us to want to do that. Say, covet to prophesy and forbid not to what? And then let all things be done decently and in order. And I want to tell you, it is a wonderful time when the church operates these manifestations accurately. And it's something that we can never get to the place where we think we've arrived. You know, we should constantly be sharp on operating them, constantly developing ourselves, speaking in tongues much in our private prayer life, and being ready, just having that heart of blessing the church. And then God has a wonderful avenue to the hearts and lives of his people. Okay? So, Father, thanks for your wonderful word, for just the great privilege it is to be a part of your family, for you placing your spirit inside of us and allowing us to operate these wonderful manifestations, Father. And we're so grateful that we can think of one another and walk with you and take care of one another in so many wonderful ways according to your word. Thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen. Amen. All righty. Thank you.
was thinking, for anybody who thinks that speaking in tongues is selfish, you better not eat lunch today, because that would be selfish also, wouldn't it? I mean, it edifies you, right? And in fact, you better not eat anymore, ever. And that would, in the long run, would that benefit the church? No, no. So, wonderful stuff from God's Word. I think many of you who, if you want a great example of how one individual word of prophecy can make all the difference, ask your leaders about a story I told them last Monday, huh? But we're going to close out singing number, what number are we singing? 74. Number 74. Is that okay with you, number 74, gentlemen? Sunshine in My Soul, number 74. Why don't you stand and sing it, please?
Thanks for coming.